You're listening to the Hello Wyoming Podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Hi there, everyone, and welcome to the Hello Wyoming Podcast. I'm Charles Lammers with the Wyoming Office of Tourism, and I'm here to tell you about Wyoming Scenic Byways. On today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Medicine Wheel Passage Scenic Byway. It's one of Wyoming's 21 beautiful byways, and we're so excited to introduce today's guest, Sean Parker from Visit Sheridan.
Well, Charles, thank you for having me. I am nervous to be in your iconic presence. It has been a while. Even through the screen, I can sense your magnetism. So thank you for having me. I'm thrilled to be here and looking forward to this.
Yeah, you bet, man. Let's get this thing rolling with a little introduction about yourself and your background and a little bit about Visit Sheridan.
Sure. Well, you know, just hey to all the viewers out there. I know that we're streaming live to several million people right now, which is pretty cool. My name is Sean Parker. I'm the executive director of Sheridan County Travel and Tourism, or Visit Sheridan, if you're looking at all of our fancy social media tags and links. I have been here for about 7 years. I am a recovering Canadian. I grew up on the east coast of our great nation to the north. Been out here for roughly 10 years with my wonderful wife, whom I met in a bar in South Korea. You know, typical Wyoming love story there. Three kids later and a dog and one of the most beautiful places in the world. And I'm living the dream. So yeah, just happy to be here and thrilled that we're on to talk about my little slice of heaven up here.
That's awesome, man. So why Wyoming? Why would you stay in Wyoming after 7 years?
You know, I was really lucky to have a great career as a journalist. I worked for a lot of the biggest outlets in the nation and internationally, and was in the right place in the right time for a lot of that. And I worked on assignment in about 80 different countries for a lot of these outlets. And came to Wyoming strictly as a visitor, you know, with my wife, Megan, girlfriend at the time. I was hooked. I wasn't hooked initially. I'll tell you where I wasn't hooked. The drive from Billings to Sheridan did not hook me. We came in November, and I just remember sitting in the car wondering where all the trees were, like what bomb had exploded to just completely decimate the hillsides. I wasn't sure what was up. You know, really took me a while to understand the geography of the high plains and these valleys that we've got out here. But went hiking that first weekend to a place called Tongue River Canyon that remains my favorite place to hike in all of Wyoming. It's absolutely spectacular. Trees everywhere, great fishing on the creek that runs through the center of it, bears and mountain lion and all sorts of great stuff out there. Didn't see any of that at that time. I've heard there's all those cool things. But anyway, Wyoming just struck me as this incredibly beautiful, remote, spectacular destination, unlike any place that I've ever been or worked in. And, you know, when we decided that we were going to look to stay in the U.S., we couldn't think of anywhere else to go. So I've been here since.
Rumor has it you like to take road trips in your Rolls Royce up the Wyoming Scenic Byways, and you've been around the Medicine Wheel Scenic Byway.
I have been on a lot of these byways up here. You know, the three we have over the Bighorn Mountains specifically, Cloud Peak to the south, the Bighorn Scenic Byway in the center, that, you know, Highway 14, and then the spur, the coolest of them all, Highway 14 alternate known as the Medicine Wheel Passage. Yeah, I've cruised them all. They all have different stuff. They make for some of the best road tripping in the country. We tell everybody that we're the road trip capital of America because we are. We're the craft capital of America. I think we're the rodeo capital of America. There's a lot of capitals here. You should see our signs on the way to town. It's really cool. There's tons of them, and we own them all. We'll tell you, you know, anything you need to hear to get out here and experience some of this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I could second all of that. Sean, tell me a little bit about what you know about the history of the Medicine Wheel Passage.
Yeah. So, you know, actually being serious here, this is a very amazing destination with a lot of rich history. So the passage is named for the Medicine Wheel. For people that don't know, the Medicine Wheel or Medicine Mountain National Historic Landmark is a major Native American sacred complex and archaeological property that's been used by many different tribes from way before the Euro-American contacts first came out, you know, and it's still in use today, which is really remarkable. It's 4,000 acres in size. You just think about how large that is. It's actually staggering. The site itself includes a concentration of natural formations and huge vistas that are perceived as cultural features themselves, traditional use areas, and these stones that have been positioned over time to mimic a wheel. So it sits at 9,600 feet. It's completely exposed if you've never been up there. It's actually really remarkable because it's way above most of where the tree line would be. The wheel itself is a roughly circular pattern of stones, about 82 feet in diameter. So again, this is gigantic. 82 feet is massive. Surrounding a central stone cairn that's about 12 feet in diameter. And in the center of the pattern is a hollow oval from which 28 radial lines extend to the circle. So it really looks like, if you can see it from the sky, if you're ever in a plane ride over top of it, it looks like a bike tire laid down on its side. So really remarkable. So that's where the name, the Medicine Wheel Passage, came from, because that's the most remarkable natural feature, historic feature on that side of the mountain.
That sounds awesome, Sean. Now, can people drive up to the Medicine Wheel, or is there a place to overlook it and then a place to hike in?
Sure, you can get close to it in a car. So I'll just give you, a little lay of the land here. So you'd have to take from, if you're in Sheridan, you drive on Old Highway 14, Highway 14 through the little towns of Ranchester, then Dayton, and you start taking the switchbacks up over the mountain. And this is all on the Bighorn Scenic Byway. At a little junction called Burgess, you stay to the north on Highway 14A. Highway 14A is the Medicine Wheel Scenic Byway, a passage. You drive up and you'll see some signs, and you take them towards the Medicine Wheel, and you've got to park about 2.5 miles away in a lot managed by the Forest Service, then hike the rest of the way in. And it's an easy hike, but it's flat, it's well maintained, but it's at almost 9,000 feet of elevation, so it can take your breath away literally and figuratively. But the Forest Service manages the access because it is a sacred ceremonial site that is still in use today. So nobody wants anybody just driving up to a place when ceremonies might be taking place. But that's a really long-winded way of saying you can get within a 2.5 mile walk of it and then hike the rest of the way in.
Fantastic. That's great that it's so accessible.
Mm-hmm.
What geographical features can people see along this byway? I know it's really high in elevation, and also starts out about, 4,000 feet, and then it goes all the way up to over 9,000 feet. So you're looking at quite a gain.
Actually, it starts about double that, because it starts at Burgess Junction, really not on the top of the mountain, but at a high point. It's about 7,500 feet that it starts at. So right where you started Highway 14A, or the Medicine Wheel Passage, you're going to be surrounded by some of the mountain lodges. So it's kind of a base camp from where you would take off from. What you're going to see there are some amazing geological features. To the north and east, you're going to see something called Twin Buttes, these two gigantic rock formations that at the base of, you'll find a really cool swath of the Tongue River that flows through. So really popular among fishermen. Continuing on to heading to the west, if you're going towards Lovell on the Medicine Wheel Passage, you're going to come to a lot of trailheads that get you to some of the most beautiful waterfalls in all of Wyoming. So if you're down near Medicine Wheel, you're actually going to be right around three of my favorite waterfalls to visit in the whole area. You're going to see Porcupine Falls, which is a steep canyon that you can't see from the parking area up above. It's really neat. You have to drop down a series of steps and cutouts because it's so steep. The Forest Service had to cut stairs into the rock. Otherwise, there'd be thousands of hikers down there right now living in this little weird camp. But Porcupine Falls, and then continue on, you have Bucking Mule Falls, which is a gigantic canyon. If you think of it in terms of distance from one another, you get these two huge waterfalls 16 miles apart that can make some of the best hiking in all of Wyoming. And I kid you not, if you went out to do one of those hikes, you wouldn't see another person in the however many hours it would take you to do those hikes. So lots of waterfalls, lots of mountains, geographic features up there, and some of the best wildlife spotting in the whole state. When the road opens, when the Medicine Wheel Passage opens, you're likely to see, on a single drive between Burgess Junction and the base of the mountain towards Lovell, 12, 15, 20 moose on a single drive. It's pretty remarkable.
So when we talk about the falls and the access to the falls, are we saying that the accessibility is a little more limited to more of the advanced hikers that would go up to these?
That's a great question. Everybody's different. My folks come out every year, and I've taken them to all these waterfalls. They don't have anything like this back at sea level near Toronto. So when you're starting behind the eight ball at 9,000 feet, you're going to be gasping for air for most of your hike. But Porcupine Falls is one that I think just about anybody can do. The hike is very strenuous, but it's less than a mile. It's just the stairs and the degree of difficulty is there because of how high you are. If you're finding the stairs, you can see Porcupine Falls. And you know, I'd suggest anybody, if they're looking for a beautiful waterfall to see and kind of test their mettle, try that one. I mean, none of them are easily accessible. There is a degree of difficulty associated with hiking in the Bighorns. It's a rugged experience almost anywhere you go, but Porcupine Falls is a good one. The overlook at Bucking Mule Falls is actually relatively easy. It's just a couple miles to get in to see it. It's mostly hiking and walking through on a well-trod path through the woods. So that's easy. And then North Beaver Creek Falls, or what locals call Paradise Falls, might be the easiest of the bunch to get down and see. And that one's really spectacular. It's not marked on any maps or any trails, which is kind of cool. You know, people say, hey, why isn't this one not marked? Or it's hard to find, but it's kind of a neat little local Wyoming secret. And we sort of like it that way. You know, we'll tell people who come looking for it, but we don't advertise it, because it's this beautiful hike through the woods. And then you descend to this rocky canyon and you see seven pools, seven tiers of pools before you see a 100-foot waterfall. And it's just unbelievable, with these massive spires that jut up from the surrounding geography. And it's just, it's unbelievable. But that might be the easiest of these, but I'm not going to sit here and tell anybody that, hey, yeah, go do this. It's the simplest stuff in the world, because I don't know how much anybody hikes.
It's a good point. I guess between the three waterfalls, essentially one word could be used to describe all of them. Would you say it's epic?
Absolutely. Yeah, totally epic.
Yeah, I agree. Have you been to Bald Mountain City?
Yeah, it's a interesting little spot there, Bald Mountain City. There's not much to write home about anymore, but you know, there's some history there with mining from the turn of the century, when folks, you know, who were taking part in the Wyoming Gold Rush thought that the Bighorn Mountains were going to be the be all end all, and people were going to strike it rich in a whole manner of ways. So it's one of the old camps, as far as I know, that was up there. There's not much left. I think there's just a few foundations, but it's in a neat area. It's, you know, very close to the cutoff to see the actual Medicine Wheel itself. So it's worth a stop.
Very nice. Yeah, I know it's one of a lot of Wyoming mining towns that went boom in the 1890s and then went bust when gold and some of the more precious metals weren't as fruitful as they thought they would be out here.
Yeah, or at all.
But one of those things that is just so full of history that I would recommend people at least check out. Let's talk about amenities. What amenities are you going to find along the Medicine Wheel passage? Are people going to need to get gas before they go? Is there a place to eat along the way? Anything like that?
Sure. Well, let's just look at the passage itself. You know, there's nothing up there except natural features on the actual Medicine Wheel passage between Sheridan and getting down off the other side of the mountain towards Lovell. So no matter what direction you're coming from, if you're coming from the Sheridan side or if you're coming from the Lovell side, you need to fuel up on gas and water and all that kind of stuff. I mean, for me, as long as I've got a tank of gas, I've always got my water filter and a bottle in the truck, I'm good to go, and a couple snacks. But it's a few hours from one side of the mountain to the other. So that's just in straight drive time. Anybody who's taken these roads, of course, is going to stop to take photographs. They're going to stop and hike. So it's a full day for the most part for anybody coming over. So you want to be prepared. Like I said, though, at Burgess Junction, you have Bear Lodge. So Bear Lodge is a full service lodge. There's fuel, there's food, there's anything you might, you know, you can reward yourself with a burger and beer and spend the night up there if you want to. Even rent ATVs or do any of that kind of stuff through the mountain lodges. And the same goes for Elk View, which is less than a mile away, and Arrowhead Lodge, which is just a few miles back on the road. But, you know, on the actual Medicine Wheel passage itself, think of the most remote parts of Wyoming that you can imagine and still be on paved roads. And that's what you're going to be on. There's no cell service once you get up on the mountain. So you want to come prepared. You know, it's not scary or frightening or anything like that, but you don't want to leave from Sheridan with a quarter tank of gas. That's for sure.
Good point. Very good point. Some of these areas are kind of sensitive. I know that it goes through Forest Service lands. And of course, the Medicine Wheel is very, very, very old. What are some tips that you could give travelers that are coming to visit some of these sites?
I think the first thing you need to think about when you go anywhere public, any public land, is that you need to leave it in better shape than when you found it. Not even considering Medicine Wheel, which has its own sets of rules, you know, being respectful in the outdoors is paramount for us to preserve these places for all to see. You know, I'm the tourism director, so it almost seems like I'm the antithesis of keeping these places wild, but that's not the case. We want people to come and enjoy all these public places and see all the beauty that Bighorn Mountains have to offer. Help juice our economy and spend dollars locally so that we can in turn take some of those monies and make sure that we're preserving these wild places the best that we can. So we don't just expect, we demand that people come and show respect and follow the rules and leave these places better than when they found them, you know, and that means observing Forest Service rules. When fire season starts, there may be fire bans on in the Bighorn National Forest. And for the most part, I'd say 99.9% of visitors follow those rules and make sure that they're not having fires when conditions are maybe a little scary. But it's just being aware of what the rules and regulations are in any given area. You know, from anywhere on this road that you're going to be on this passage, it's all Forest Service. So those rules are very easy to find. If you have any experience up the mountains at all, you're going to know what you need to do and what's expected of you. But we just want people to use common sense, have a great time, and leave it better than they found it.
Well said, well said. Wyoming, I mean, has a population density of about 6 people per square mile, so we have no shortage of room for people to check out anything, including our scenic byways. So I hope that listeners will take advantage of this as well. So regarding the Medicine Wheel itself, being such a sacred historic site, I imagine there are specific rules and guidelines that visitors need to abide by.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked me this one. You know, I'm a journalist. I made my career telling stories, and I'm a stickler for the details because I know what happens to a place when people don't respect it. And the cool thing about the Medicine Wheel is that I think, and as long as I've been here, and I've never heard stories that speak to it otherwise, people have been incredibly gracious with this site. So again, it's a ceremonial site that's important to many different Native American groups. And you have to understand that comes with a lot of visitor behavior expectations. One of them is that, you know, you may come upon a ceremony that's taking place during the visit. So you want to just make sure you stand back and observe quietly. And what's really, really important is that you don't take photographs during a ceremony. So this is a bit of an odd thing that you might not think of. How harmless could it be to grab your cell phone and just snap some photos? But it's typically seen as disrespectful. So you can take photographs, no problem, of the Medicine Wheel itself, but not when there's a ceremony taking place. Folks are expected not to touch the prayer offerings placed on the Medicine Wheel fence. Might not seem like a big deal, but somebody's put those there for a very specific reason. So they shouldn't be touched. It doesn't matter if it's something that's weathered the winter or if it was just put there yesterday. You know, they're fragile and they're important to people. So, and we don't know how old anything is up there. You know, some folks think it's a few hundred years old. Some folks think it's 3,500 years old. But we do know this area has been visited by Native Americans for more than 7,000 years. So there's a lot of history that goes into that. Another question I get asked all the time about it is whether or not you're allowed to fly drones in the National Forest. If you're doing recreational drone photography, you can do that anywhere you want, following all those rules associated with drone photography, but you cannot take your drone up in the air anywhere in the Medicine Wheel acreage, and that includes the full 4,000 acres of the Medicine Wheel itself, and that's from the parking lot on. So that's one that everybody's expected to abide by, and you know, folks are not real sticklers for this. You're not going to see people up there pointing at you and saying, hey, don't do this, don't do that. Again, it's one of those things where everybody's on the honor system, but this is the most sacred site in northern Wyoming. And we just hope that people will come and enjoy it for what it is and follow the rules.
Absolutely. Great advice. Sean, thank you for being on the show. Before we go, I want to give you a little bit of time to talk about Visit Sheridan itself and share some of your social handles and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course. So we have all the traditional social media you can think of at Visit Sheridan and Visit Sheridan, Wyoming. Our website is SheridanWyoming.org. You can go on there and find trip planning resources, restaurant guides, hotel guides, and actually plenty of itineraries. So if you're a culture vulture or somebody who's obsessed with history, you know, we've got specialized itineraries to get you around to see not just places like the Medicine Wheel, but our other national historic landmark, which is the Sheridan Inn, and the 7 Indian Wars battle sites that are in our county, not including the Battle of Little Bighorn, which is just up the interstate over the border in Montana. So SheridanWyoming.org for all those resources. And we're happy to talk to anybody who has any more questions.
Awesome, Sean. Thanks for coming in to talk with us today about the Medicine Wheel Scenic Byway. Sheridan is going to be on the eastern side of these byways, so it's a great place to stop after you've traveled from west to east or east to west. It's a beautiful city. Awesome, Sean. Thanks for being here today. You can find Sean in Sheridan, which is on the eastern side of the Medicine Wheel Passage Scenic Byway. It's a great place to stop in, even for just a few minutes on your way to fuel up to go up the Medicine Wheel Scenic Byway. Great place to stop. Great town. Thanks again, Sean.
Hey, thank you, Charles. See you soon.
Yep, you can see Sean again probably on another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast. And listeners, thank you. As you travel Wyoming, be sure to visit responsibly and follow along on our social media channels. And use hashtag Wyoming and hashtag That's Why as you post. We'll talk again soon. This has been another episode of the Hello Wyoming podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Charles Lammers and produced by Relic.